items, but I like this one a lot better. I didn't at first because it's probably not familiar. Like, obviously, it's the school's hymnal. And so it was really unfamiliar to me, and I didn't quite like it. Plus, it was the hymnal that non-Baptist church I went to when I was a kid used local. Had right. So I was kind of silly talking. But I actually like it. It's nice that it's smaller. So it doesn't have as many useless things in it.
I'm sure cheese is my home sure cheese the majesty him has. I don't care for that one. Because, like, there's 600 songs in it, and 50 of them are on Hamilton songs.
Almost because it's Frank Garlock.
Right. No, I understand.
See you out this evening, and I hope you had a restful afternoon. I was able to have lunch with Maud and time to visit with Bob, and he was pretty talcative like normal and in good spirits, and so he's just looking at it every day. Really, he's thinking that might be my last day, and so I keep on praying for him and pray for Maud too and the rest of the family, but. If he's looking for the Lord, for the Lord to take him home here soon. So pray for him. And then also I got a call from Dan Randles right after the church service, and he said Charlie was up, walking, talking, and eating. And so basically, a complete turnaround for Charlie. And so we can praise the Lord for that he's doing quite a bit better, a lot better than what he was before. So praise the Lord for that. And continue to pray for Dan, have to think about where he's going once he's discharged from the hospital, because they cleaned out his room at Ramsey as well as at University Park, so we're not quite sure where they'll be settling him, but be praying for that as well. But praise the Lord, he is doing quite a bit better. Keep in mind also our game night this coming Saturday. We'll meet here at the church at 6 o'clock. Ham and bean soup will be provided. But you can bring cornbread or dessert or beverages, whatever goes well with that. And bring some favorite games and come prepared for a good time there. Then also on the back table we have the complete proposal as far as the bylaws are concerned. And so if you're a member, go ahead and pick one of those up. Be sure that you read through it. We'll have a time this Wednesday to just talk about the entire proposal. If you have any questions or comments, I also have a copy of the current constitution if you want to compare the two. And so keep that in mind. Also, the quarterly business meeting is October the 20th at 7 o'clock. And we won't be voting on bylaws then. We'll be voting on the bylaws November 10th. That's the plan anyway. And so keep those things in mind. I think that's probably about all we have as far as announcements. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for a good afternoon, a good day so far, for your many blessings. And I even do pray that you'd be blessing this evening service in a great way as well. I pray that you'd encourage us and challenge us to be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. So I thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness to us. Even do pray for Bob in a special way. Thank you that Maud is here this evening. Pray that you'd encourage her. Do even pray for Charlie. And I thank you for the turnaround that we've seen in his life as far as his health is concerned. I pray that you'd continue to strengthen him and guide the family as they decide where to place him as far as a place to stay. And continue to pray for Inez Schuling as she's not doing so well either. So I pray for her. And just thank you that we can trust you with all of these things. And so even as we sing songs of praise to you, I pray that it would pleasing in your sight, music in your ears. I pray that it would be glorifying to you. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, Pastor. Yes. Is it okay if we, move together? There's not very many of us here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as far as the altar in the center.
Yeah, and come down here.
Yeah, we can. Mm-hmm.
Well, we all stand up, get our free sort of stretch. Yeah, let's get all really close together so when we sing our favorites, we can all hear each other. I know that's scary for some of us.
Where are we coming to?
I don't know. Actually, where am I?
Are you going to stand in the ring?
It's all good. How do you sit close? I know. You don't have to sit in the first couple of rows, but I just sit on you. But otherwise, why don't you get nice and close up here? But you want me to stand up? You might as well stay standing. Sing, as is our custom, to sing first one. Standing.
Standing.
Number 10. Take him out, number 10. Blue. We're going blue. I think somebody planted those red ones in your hand, so those will make an appearance later, I think. I don't know anything about it. Thank you.
Number 10 in the...
Sorry.
264
in the red.
264 in the red one. Red means stop. Blue means baby voice. 264 in the garden. Sing some of the songs that we have, that we used to have on this book, and we don't have a new one. We have to do this one. 115, Ivory Palestrina.
This one.
What?
I've never heard the song before, so I'm going to have her do the intro.
I don't really know it all well either.
You don't know it?
I just thought, you know,
that's what we're going to try to be doing in a minute.
Is Priscilla on the list? Place again.
Bless and Obey. 261, I think in the red one. That's what I think she was looking in.
Why don't we 251?
261. Why don't we sing the first, third, and fifth? So we can move on to other things as well. The first, third, and fifth of 261.
Christmas tree up this week, Dan?
Building in our house for like a month.
What we should be singing is Joy to the World, because that's not even really a Christmas song. But I don't waste time on that now. 93. Let's sing along, because the baby already is. And then if you notice in some of these, like this one for instance, the writer of the tune came a century later. So it's interesting if you, you know, read up the history of songs. Like for instance, did you know, I probably shouldn't even mention this, did you know that the Star Spangled Banner was obviously written by Francis Scott Key as a poem during the War of
1812.
But the tune is actually a drinking song. that it was added to later. I really doubt it sounds as good as they sing before baseball. Well, it depends on what baseball team you go to, but... But anyway, like I said, I probably shouldn't even mention that. It's just interesting how songs come down to us. It's very interesting how that works. All right, one more.
I have a couple that goes right along with my message.
Oh. Then we better sing those.
462 is the first one.
Okay, 462. Sunshine in my soul. Stand together. This will be our last one. Thank you so much for all these songs, and thank you for bringing out the red hymnal, wherever you are. We'll have to do this when we do favorites more often. 472, Heavenly Sunlight. seats.
Okay. Can we get this mic back on? I'm going to go get a better perspective here. I may seem a little bit further back, but and I will be a little bit further back. But I am.
He has a higher quality.
Okay, very good. Wasn't that great singing those favorites? You know, I love those old red hymnals. Not saying that I don't appreciate our blue hymnals, because the blue hymnal has a lot of good hymns in it that weren't in the red hymnal. But those old red hymnals, I love it. You know, I grew up with that hymnal. Whenever my dad pastored the small church in Onslow, Iowa, Calvary Baptist Church, we had those old red hymnals. And so ever since the time I was a little tyke, you know, we were singing out of that red hymnal and a lot of precious hymns there. And Heavenly Sunlight is one of those hymns. And praise the Lord for that. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we'll look into God's Word. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the time that we can praise your name and just worship you in spirit and truth by lifting up our voices, singing to you, praising you. And so I do pray, even as we look into your Word, I pray that you challenge us and encourage us. I do thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world, who is the light of the world. We thank you so very much for that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sunshine is a wonderful thing, isn't it? How many of you like sunshine? Okay, I think all of us enjoy sunshine, at least most of us. How many of you would prefer a nice, bright, sunshiny day as opposed to a rainy or a gloomy, cold day? How many of you would prefer the sunshiny day? Okay, I think most people would prefer the bright, sunshiny day. We prefer that brightness of the sun over the darkness or the gloominess of either night or an overcast day. And we think about it, and we realize this in our daily experience, how dark it is or how bright it is really can affect how we feel, right? And so when it's cloudy and rainy on a morning, okay, do you feel like getting up out of bed very much? You don't, because that just lulls you to sleep. Because and the rain has something to do with it. But whenever you have to get up early, say 5 or 6 o'clock, and it's still dark out, it's hard getting up when it's dark, right? At least for me it is. I don't know about you. And part of that's, you know, habit too. But it's a lot easier for me to get up whenever it's bright, you know, the sun is already above the horizon, than when it is dark out. As the leaves are starting to fall, and the leaves are so beautiful, aren't they? As they're changing colors and falling off the trees, we realize it's getting a little chillier. At least it was getting a little chillier. It's nice and warm now. But, you know, fall is coming, and soon winter's going to be here. And we think about it. It's getting dark earlier, isn't it? And what it gets dark probably about 7 o'clock in the evening right now. And as the days go on, soon it's going to be 6 o'clock. And then then we'll go back to standard time. And then it'll probably be, 4:30 or so when it gets dark. And those long winter nights, they can kind of get to you, can't they? It really can, you know. Not only is it dark, but it's cold and probably snowy and the ice and all of those things. It can really affect you. And some people get down in the dumps to the point where they're really depressed during those days where it's so dark and cold and whatnot. And you know what? Psychologists have actually come up with a name for this, what they call disorder. And what it is called is seasonal affective disorder, is how they label this whenever people kind of get down, whenever it's this time of year. I went to a website. You can find all types of interesting things here. But let me just fill you in a little bit about seasonal affective disorder, or SAD. People with this disorder, they're particularly sensitive to light, okay? Whether it's the presence of light or the absence of light. And here is just part of an article that I found. Many studies have shown that people with seasonal affective disorder feel better after exposure to bright light. It seems simple enough. In higher latitudes, winter days are shorter, so you get less exposure to sunlight. Replace the lost sunlight with bright artificial light, and your mood improves. But it's actually far more complex. Alfred Louis, MD, a seasonal affective disorder researcher at the Oregon Health and Science University, says it's not only a matter of getting light, but also getting it at the right time. The most important time to get light is in the morning. Now, he thinks that seasonal affective disorder is due to a phase shift of the circadian rhythm. The wall clock may tell you it's time to get up and at 'em. but your body's internal clock says you should be resting. Bright light in the morning resets your circadian clock. Okay, so they've done some study in this area, and this is what some people have come up with. And like I say, that's not the whole article, and take that for what it's worth, you know, just by way of introduction. But we realize the light and the darkness, it can affect us emotionally, right? And it can even have an effect as far as, you know, whether we get depressed, or at least it can enter into that. And most of us would prefer to spend our days, our time, in the bright sunshine as opposed to the dark night. I think all of us could say that. We prefer that. We feel better when it's bright and shiny. So we recognize that in the physical world, but as we make a comparison in the spiritual world, it's really sad to think that the world, they may recognize, yes, I enjoy bright sunshiny days, I enjoy the sunshine from our sun, but they have no concept as far as spiritual light or spiritual darkness. And you think about it, you know, they want that physical light, but yet they have no desire really to have God's spiritual light. They're content to do what? To remain in spiritual darkness. They don't recognize that there is spiritual light and spiritual darkness, and they're opposing, you know, and the light is good for you, and the darkness is not good for you. The one is a blessing, and the other really is a curse. It is depressing, and it is it's not good. And so as we think about this, why do natural men and women prefer the long summer days, the bright sunshine, on one hand, but on the other hand, they neglect to accept spiritual light? They would love to stay in the spiritual darkness. Why is that? And so as we ponder this idea of spiritual light, we want to go to the Scriptures. We realize first and foremost that God is light, right? God is light. It is God who said in the very beginning, let there be light, right? And so God is who is light, and we'll look at some Scriptures that say, yes, He is light. But He, in the very beginning, what did He say? Let there be light. And there was light. That was in Genesis chapter 1, and we read in verses 4 and 5, and God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So we recognize the God who is light created all light. And in Psalm 104, verses 1 through 4, the psalmist declares, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, You are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. You cover Yourself with light as with a garment, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. He lays the beams of His upper chambers in the waters, who makes the clouds His chariots, who walks on the wings of the wind, who makes His angel spirits and His ministers a flame of fire. And so this God who created all things, the one who made the light of day, the one who placed each of the stars in its place in the heavens, the one who made the moon and the planets who reflect the sun's brilliance, all of these light bearers in the sky truly testify to the Creator of light, to the one who is light. As we look at the Scriptures, we realize God is a glorious God. He is so bright and shining, so radiant, that no mortal can look upon Him. Now we realize in the Old Testament, as we look at the nation of Israel, how did God reveal Himself to the nation of Israel? On the Mount Sinai, how did He show Himself on that mount? It was fire, right? Fire on the top of that mount. How did He lead the children of Israel through the wilderness? Through a pillar of cloud and of fire, right? And so we have that light once again. Whenever the temple was built, what happened? To show that God had really approved of the temple and was dwelling there. The Shekinah glory came in the temple. And it was so bright, and the priests could no longer minister inside the temple because it was so bright. God's Shekinah glory was there. In the New Testament, we read in 1 Timothy chapter 6. You can turn there with me. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 13 and following. First Timothy chapter 6 and verses 13 through 16. Here Paul tells Timothy, I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ's appearing. which he will manifest in his own time. He who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Now look at verse 16. Who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. And so God the Father dwells in unapproachable light. He is so glorious. He is so magnificent. So brilliant that no mortal can dare look upon Him. 1 John, the book of 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, as we consider God and how He is light, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, what does John say here? This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And so here John is referring to Him as light. He is absolutely holy. He is totally set apart from darkness, from any sin, any immorality, any evil at all. He is absolute light. In Him is no darkness at all. And so we saw in the very beginning, what did God do? He created light. He said, "Let there be light." And God Himself is infinitely glorious. He is the one who is light. No mortal can dare look upon God the Father in His glorious brightness. But yet, as we consider this, God has revealed Himself to mankind through the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. And what does it testify concerning Jesus Christ? It says that He is the light. Let us go to John in chapter 1. But before we go there, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. Because this is neat how Paul joins this together in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. We recognize, yes, God is the creator of light. He Himself is the light. And He has shed His light upon us in so many different ways, so that we know what is good and true. He's done it through prophets of old. He's done it through what has been written down for us in the Scriptures. But at the right time, what did God do? He sent His Son, who is the light of the world. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, notice how this all works together, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness," way back in Genesis, "who has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And so it is that God, God the Father, who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who has shone in our hearts, so that we might know the good news of Jesus Christ, so that we might have that light. Praise the Lord. And so we've seen God's light. We haven't looked upon God the Father, because we are mortal. We can't do that. But who have we seen? Not face to face, but we have seen in the Scriptures, we have seen Jesus Christ, who is the light. Let's go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And there's so many passages in the Scripture that talk about light and God as being light and revealing His light, but we're just picking a few here as we consider this amazing concept concerning God and who He is and what He has revealed. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world." So Jesus Christ, He is the light. He is the source of all light. Jesus Christ, the light, came to this earth to reveal the person of the Father, the one who is clothed in inexpressible glory. He came to give light to those who were trapped in darkness. And we find, yes, Jesus came to His own people. He came to the Jewish nation. He came to give them the light. And He also came to give the Gentiles light. We read in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. Matthew chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, verse 15, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and the shadow of death, light has dawned. And so Jesus Christ, when he came to this world, he truly is the light. Yes, they realize we can't look upon God the Father. No mortal can look upon the Father. We can look upon Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, as he walked upon this earth, he was the light, the bright shining light of God among mankind. We read Jesus' own words in John chapter 8 and verse 12. What did Jesus say? I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of light. We read in Isaiah chapter 42 concerning Jesus as the light. Isaiah 42 verses 6 and 7. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. And so, Jesus Christ, what a glorious privilege, a glorious ministry to shed light in the darkness. And you would think, as Jesus Christ, who is the light, you would think that the people would just come swarming to him. Okay, you think about in the nighttime, in the summer especially, whenever you turn on your porch light, okay, in the middle of the summer, what happens? What gathers around that porch light? You have bugs, you have swarms of bugs coming to that light, right? Or when you're driving down the highway, oftentimes, you know, you have the bugs coming to your headlights. Now, whether that's because they see the light or just because you're zooming right along. But you think about it, we know that. Or the bug zappers. Any of you have a bug zapper yet? They used to be really popular. I don't know if they're popular so much. But, you know, the bugs see that light, and they go to the light, only they get zapped. But and that's not a good analogy, because Jesus Christ, he is the light. He's not a bug zapper. But he is a light, he is a beacon of hope. He is the life. But you'd think, as mankind who are in the darkness, you would think that they would just come flocking to the light, just like the bugs come flocking to the porch light. But is that what they did? What did mankind do whenever they saw Jesus Christ, who is the light? And as we see in John chapter 3, in verses 19 through 21, we realize that the reception of the one who is light, it was far from welcoming. We read in John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. And of course, we could go previous, you know, we know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But then what does the Lord go on to say in verse 17? For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But what does it say in verse 18? He who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come into the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. And so mankind, natural mankind, left to himself, is he ever going to come to Jesus Christ, who is the light? Left to their own, they aren't going to come to the light. Because even as we read in John here, lost mankind, who is in darkness, they practice evil deeds, they don't want to be exposed by that light. They hate the light. They're going to stay where they're comfortable, in the darkness. We realize each and every person born into this world is born a sinner. They are born into Satan's kingdom. They are in the kingdom of darkness, and they will never of their own volition choose to leave that darkness to go to the light. It is only as the work of the Holy Spirit burdens their hearts, convicts them of their sin. It is a supernatural convicting that leads a person to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's that transfer as they believe. Once they believe, transferred from darkness to light. And so, as a sinner, it's against our very nature to go to the light. We want to stay in the darkness because that is where we're comfortable. That's where we want to be. We can't help but love the darkness as lost men and women. And so, That's rather grim, isn't it? It's a sad picture, but we realize that's not where the story ends. It's not as if all of humanity is destined for hell or the lake of fire, because God has had mercy on us. Yes, some have not responded to Jesus Christ. Many have not, but yet many have responded to the light who is Jesus Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit. God has called certain ones to come out of the darkness into His glorious light. Even as we read in 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10. And Peter says here to the believers here, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." And so it's not as if there are throngs of people leaving the darkness to come to the light because, you know, they just want to. No, it is God who has called individuals out of the darkness into His light. It is an act of God. And we can praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, He has saved us. Praise the Lord, He has called us from that darkness into His glorious light. We don't deserve to be rescued from Satan's kingdom. We don't deserve to have life and light, but yet God has had mercy on us. God hasn't allowed us to stay in that kingdom where we were ignorant and where we were in misery, that kingdom of darkness. God has shed His light upon us. He has opened the blinded eyes so that we can see. He has transferred us from that kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of His Son, the kingdom of light. Praise the Lord. But as we think about this, changing from a child of Satan, a child of darkness, to a child of God who is a child of light, what changes? And really, everything changes, right? Positionally, everything is completely different. A complete turnaround. In God's eyes, we are no longer a sinner, we are a saint. Okay, God sees us through the blood of the cross. He sees us because we have Christ's righteousness imputed to us. Our sins are forgiven. So positionally, everything has changed. But practically, things aren't quite so easy. They aren't quite so cut and dried. Practically, it's a daily battle as far as where we want to fall, as far as in the light or in the darkness, as far as how we live our life. But whenever God saved us, did He save us so that we can just, you know, waffle around? You know, as far as, well, today I feel like spending some time in the kingdom of darkness. I feel like doing these deeds of darkness. And another day you may feel like doing things the way God wants us to, as far as living in the light. No, God hasn't saved us so we can go back and forth between darkness and light. No, He has called us to live a holy life, a life characterized by living in the light. We've been saved from the darkness. And we need to live like it. We need to live in the light. Live in God's holiness. We must walk as children of light. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5 verses 1 through 14. Ephesians chapter 5 verses 1 through 14. "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, in offering a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." Verse 3, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you once were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore He says, 'Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light.' And so God is light. And we as His children who have been saved by God, His grace, by God's grace, we must be imitators of Him. We are children of God. We must also be children of light. We must be light in the Lord. And, you know, it's easy to say that. You know, we must be light in the Lord. But what does that look like? What does that look like in our day-to-day life? Where does the rubber meet the road? How does it all play out? And here in Ephesians chapter 5, it gives us all types of concrete examples as far as what it looks like. You know, it means that we shun covetousness. We know what covetousness is, right? What is covetousness? Okay, it's lusting after, desiring something with a sinful desire. Okay, you look at your neighbor's house, okay, and you say, wow, my neighbor has a nice house. I wish I could have that house. I want that house. Or you see his car, and you say, I want that car. Or we could go on and on. We must shun covetousness. That is a work of darkness, covetousness is. It means, as children of light, we must avoid the works of darkness, the works of uncleanness. Whether it be in our thoughts, whether it be in our words, whether it be in our actions. We can go on and on, but you know, think of this. It means that we don't hate one another. It means that instead we love one another. We care for one another. We pray for one another. Instead of hating and being bitter and unkind, we lavish the love of Christ upon them. We do good to those who curse us. We pray for those who spitefully use us. And we could go on and on and on in our list. But there must be a separation between the light and the darkness. Paul says, what does Paul say there? Have no fellowship with the works of darkness, but rather expose them. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't interact with lost people anymore, because that's not the case. Because we are in the world, but not of the world. Okay, so yes, we interact with our lost neighbors, our lost co-workers, but it is for the goal, really, of leading them to Jesus Christ. Okay, so it's not as if we're here in this monastery, you know, we're all closed up away from all the lost people. No, we interact with people yet, but what does it mean to be separate? Okay, come out from among them and be separate. What does Paul say here? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. So yes, we're around lost people. We have a desire to see them come to know the Lord. But whenever they go to the bar and drink, okay, whenever they watch trash on TV, whenever they listen to ungodly music, whenever they go and do whatever the case may be, the list could go on and on and on. Whenever they tell those dirty jokes, whenever they, you know, we don't want to have anything to do with those wicked works of darkness. We don't want to have anything. What does Paul say in verse 12? It is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. Okay? We realize how the lost world lives. We don't want to have anything to do with that. Because you know what? We are not children of darkness. We are children of light. Is that how we're living our lives? Or are we just living like a child of darkness again, even though God has saved our soul? Where does it come as far as our life? Are we living like we are in reality? Are we living as children of light? That's what Paul is trying to drive home here. You once were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. You've been saved. So don't live like a child of darkness. Walk as children of light. Praise the Lord for what He's done in our life. But we don't want to just say, well, I've been saved, now I have my fire insurance, I'm just going to go live how I want. We must not do that. We must live as children of life and of light. And so as we think about this, as we think about even it's getting dark out, okay? And in those long winter nights, what can we be thankful for? We can be thankful for that, yes, it is dark out, but even though it's dark out, we are a child of light. We have Jesus Christ light within us. We have sunshine in our soul, truly. We can be thankful that we're no longer in the kingdom of darkness, in Satan's kingdom. We are in God's kingdom. We're not under the mastery of the devil anymore. We're slaves of Christ. We rejoice. Yes, God has saved us. God has made us children of light. But are we living as lights in this dark world? You look at a city with all those street lights, you know, and it really is pretty to look at all those street lights, and you get away from Ankeny, you know, you can see where Carl Chevrolet is at, you can see where Dewey Ford is at, right? You can see really where the main thing. You know what? We want to be lights in the world. Okay, and you know what? There can be varying degrees of light, can't there? Okay, so we think about birthdays. Okay, have birthday candles. Okay, how much does a little birthday candle light? How much light does that put off? It puts off a little bit of light, especially if you have a bunch of them on the cake. You know, but if you just have one little birthday candle on the cake, if the room is totally dark, it's amazing how much light that can put off. But in comparison to a torch, okay. Or like a gas lantern or something like that. That little candle isn't much, is it? But whenever you compare the gas lantern to a lighthouse, okay, or a huge shining beacon, you know, what we want to do is have the greatest amount of light possible. We want to reflect God's glory and His light in our lives. You look up in the heavens at night. You look at the stars. You know, you see the moon right off, don't you? Because it has a shiny, bright shining light. But if the moon is down below the horizon, you look at the stars. Some are brighter than others, right? And really, as we look at Christians, some Christians are brighter in their testimony than others. Some are shining, reflecting the light of Jesus Christ to a greater extent than others. How bright of a star do you want to be? Okay, God wants us to be the brightest star possible. He wants us to fully reflect His glory and His light. Where are we at along the spectrum of God's light? How are we living? How are we living our lights as lights in the world? Christ says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Right now, if you're saved, you are a light in this world of darkness. Whenever you go in a store, whenever you go with your lost neighbors, or whatever the case may be, you are a light. You are reflecting Jesus Christ's light. What does Paul say in Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16? "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." We shine as lights in this world, just like the stars of the heaven. We just sang this afternoon in the nursing home, "This Little Light of Mine." Okay, and that's a great little chorus. "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." Okay, don't hide it under a bushel. Don't let Satan blow it out. Let it shine till Jesus comes. Let it shine around Norwoodville or Des Moines, okay, or Parkridge Manor, whatever the case may be. It's so easy to sing that song, but is that what we are practicing in our lives? Are we a light? We are a light if we have trusted in Jesus Christ. But how bright is that light? Are we letting it shine to its fullest? So praise the Lord. We are children of God. We are children of light. We are light in the Lord. But let us strive continually to be a brighter light. Okay? We don't want to be content with just being a little birthday candle. Okay? We want to move up, you know, from a little birthday candle to a bigger birthday candle, to a full-size candle, to a really big candle, you know, and just keep on moving up. Be brighter and brighter in the Lord. Strive more and more to put away that sin. Put away the works of darkness. And strive more and more and more to be holy as God is holy. To be light as He is light. In our practice, as it is in our position. And let us pray for others. There are so many that are enslaved in that kingdom of darkness. And you know, they may be looking for something better. They may realize something's not quite right. But by and large, you know, they're pretty content being in the kingdom of darkness. They're pretty at home there. But we need to be praying for those lost men and women. Pray that God would convict their souls, that He would call them from that kingdom of darkness into the glorious kingdom of His Son, that He would save them. And what a glorious day when a soul gets saved from the kingdom of darkness, transferred into the kingdom of light. Pray that the Lord would save souls, that there would be more that would be added to the kingdom of light. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for what You have shown us in the Scriptures. I do pray that we would be children of light in practice as we are in position. I pray that our lights would be shining brighter and brighter. I thank You that You have sent Jesus Christ into this world, who is the light. Help us to imitate Him in all ways. And so we do pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand as we close this evening with number 42. Number 42, just a simple chorus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. 42 in the Blue Song Books. The ability through Jesus Christ to live in the light. And I pray, Father, that that would be our desire tonight. Father, that if it is not, we would beg and plead before you that it would be, and that you would receive the glory, honor, and praise for that. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.